Say Hey, it is Monday. The time is 5:32. You're listening to Say Hey, KZFR, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio program. My name is Jake, joined as always by Noobs. Noobs, how are you?
Doing good, man. Summer is officially here.
Summer is here. Yesterday was the longest day of the year, was it not?
It was.
Yes, indeed. So does that make today the second longest day of the year?
I think it's 2A.
2A.
Because the day before,
is technically longer.
Yeah. Yeah. So this would be 2B, whatever.
2B.
But we're on the way down.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all downhill from here.
It's all downhill from here, like always. man, I had a good weekend. You had a good weekend. You were up in the canyon, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I went to a really great party, music festival.
Excellent. There is so many wonderful, great sports things to talk about today. It's going to be an action-packed 30 minutes.
I mean, all across the board.
Across the board. And we'll start with, last week we spent the whole program on the finals and Golden State and Cleveland and everything. So we're not going to spend the whole program doing that today, even though Golden State, they won the title. I went down to the parade on Friday. It was just a great time.
Kicking it with Marshawn Lynch.
That's right. Marshawn was there. Marshawn was doing interviews just to piss off all the football press. It was a great time, man. Oakland was in full swing. People were really well behaved. I'm sure there was a headline or two because somebody did get shot somewhere. But, man, there were 500,000 people out there. Everybody was having fun. It was a very diverse crowd. As the whole Bay Area, supports that team, so it's not just one group of people. And great day for Warriors fans, a really great finals, and just kind of playoff run in general for the NBA, more parity, which is always a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And looking ahead, we'll just kind of keep it brief, but the Warriors will be a team that, the West is brutal, but they're built to contend for the coming future.
Absolutely.
Everybody's locked up. The only real change you're going to see in terms of the roster next year is they're going to move David Lee. It doesn't make any sense to pay $15 million to a guy at the end of your bench when you can get stuff in return for it. So,
but he really wasn't at the end of the bench anymore, though.
Well, he did play a little bit in the finals.
He played well.
As they made adjustments, but they're not going to change their, he's not going to start for Draymond Green next year. That's not going to happen. And nor should he. But
he shouldn't start, but I think he should be playing more minutes.
They're gonna. I would bet my bottom dollar. There's already talks of them moving him for. I would think draft picks or maybe somebody else that can fill a similar role, but not get, not cost $15 million a year.
Right.
But other than that, you're looking at literally the same team next season. So and the NBA draft is this week.
Yep.
So the finals end, and here comes the NBA draft. Perfect timing.
Yep.
Just moves right along. As far as LeBron, they'll get healthy, they'll try and get healthy, and they'll probably dominate the East next year if they are, because there's just nobody else in the East. We've had this conversation a million times.
Yeah, I just unless Chicago goes out and makes a big splash, and signing Dwayne Wade would not, in my opinion, be that big splash.
No.
I don't know how much he can really give you. He can't be that primary guy. Not that they would need him to be with Rose, but, real quick, looking forward, like you said, Cleveland with Kyrie Irving, if he can be healthy, if they bring Love back, and even if they don't, I still think they're going to be good.
Oh, yeah.
Tristan Thompson, Mozgov, Iman Shumpert, all really quality guys. I feel like they need to get rid of J.R. Smith.
And they probably will.
He's just a detriment. Not only just from an attitude perspective, but also he just sometimes will just go 0-for-8,
yep.
and just kill you.
And not play real smart basketball.
Not play horrible, basketball towards the end, dumb fouls and all that. But look for Cleveland to come back. Early prediction from me is a rematch.
I know. That's totally within the realm of possibility. And the one thing for Cleveland, I think that they'll have to brace themselves for a little bit is that Kyrie, he is such a star, but he's also a young man, and he has spent a good portion of his basketball career, college as well, injured.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those guys that, you basically cross your fingers at this point that he'll be healthy, just like a Rose or, Bogut's not the same type of player, but guys that have a big effect on your team.
Right.
Guys don't seem to get healthier as they get older. It's just not the way it works.
Right.
So, you hope that Kyrie can stay healthy, but I think if they want to really count on Kyrie, they should also have a decent bench and contingency plan to back that up.
No, absolutely. I don't think he needs to be playing 44 minutes a night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And game one, when he went down in overtime, I think Blatt was pushing him a little too hard. He'd only been playing about 20 minutes in the Atlanta series in the two games that he had played.
Right.
So I think, I don't know if that means that Dellavedova is going to get more minutes next year or they're going to bring somebody else in.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dellavedova, you know, can play some good defense and hit an open shot every once in a while, but he's not the kind of scoring threat
right.
that they need alongside LeBron James.
And one of the things, kind of just throw this to wrap up the Golden State segment, that didn't get a ton of press in the playoffs but was a big deal during the regular season was the Warriors, because they were so dominant during the regular season and because Steve Kerr adopted a certain philosophy of using his stars, they took the old Jordan, let's ice those knees philosophy, where they'd get out to big leads in the third and they would sit their starters the entire fourth quarter
mm-hmm.
and let the bench handle the rest of it. And Steph Curry, for example, didn't play in 17 fourth quarters this year.
Really?
17.
Wow.
So when you talk about the Warriors being healthy, it wasn't by complete accident. They went over the top to make sure that their starters were fresh for the playoffs.
Yeah, I think there was some stat that they did not once did they blow a lead of 15 or more.
Yeah, 15 or more points with a lead. They were like 57-0.
To some of those who would think, oh, well, you should never blow a 15-point lead. Well, the NBA, it happens all the time.
In about 2 minutes.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I mean, so resting your players and having a bench that can let you do that, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
I mean, that's a lot of games. The playoffs are basically a third of a season. So it catches up even to young guys.
Yeah, I mean, they played 20 games,
right?
I think, this postseason,
yeah,
right?
So while health is fortunate, it's also not a complete accident when you're able to rest your guys during the season.
Yeah.
So look for Cleveland to try and deepen their bench so they don't have to play guys 40-some-odd minutes a night.
Think about, like, the Kobe Bryants and the Michael Jordans and the LeBron James of the world that are always in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think they're playing anywhere from, you know, 15 to 20 games, you know, depending on how many series they go through, you know, that adds up. Like you said, that's, you know, about 25% of the season,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if you go to the playoffs 10 years in a row, you're talking about playing, you know, 2.5 extra seasons,
right.
entire seasons of basketball on your
yeah.
knees, on your joints, on your ankles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything.
It's
brutal.
It's brutal, man. But yeah, great season. And we'll look forward to talking more hoops.
Yeah, congratulations to the Warriors and their fans.
Oh, yeah, it's a big deal for us. And next week, we'll talk about the NBA draft and what went down.
Mm-hmm.
But let's move on, since we have so much. Let's talk about the U.S. Open, because it was a historic one yesterday.
That was exciting.
Came in with, what, I think a four-way tie at 4-under for the day. And Jordan Spieth winds up winning it in a dramatic finish.
Mm-hmm.
Goes double bogey on 17. After he had a three-stroke lead going in at 6-under.
Par 317. Yeah.
And then birdies 18 to come into the clubhouse yeah. at 5-under with one group behind him, Dustin Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And Dustin Johnson, who is known throughout golf because of his past issues as a choker. And, you know, choke is a harsh word, but, I mean, this guy's got some brutal chokes on his resume, including at the U.S. Open in 2010.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday after Spieth's phenomenal shot to put himself to get to birdie 18, you know, like, he did leave that door open, and then Dustin Johnson hits a phenomenal shot,
an unbelievable shot,
and
set himself 12 feet for eagle to win it,
and then he misses that one, but he still has an opportunity to birdie to force an 18 hole playoff, and then he misses what looked like no more than a 4-footer.
Yeah, I've got the call right here. Fox was covering the U.S. Open. So you'll hear Joe Buck and Greg Norman, and this is both putts. This is 12 feet for eagle to win the U.S. Open, and then 4 feet to force a tie. And this is how it was called on Fox.
And now a putt for eagle for Dustin Johnson to win the United States Open.
Not an easy one.
Just brutal. I mean, that 4-footer, it didn't even lip out. He just missed it.
Yeah.
He flat out missed it. And, of course, we miss 4-footers all the time.
Oh.
But we're not putting to tie the U.S. Open.
No.
And he didn't putt well most of the day in those same situations. And, man, that's a tough one for a guy that's had a history of that. But you know what? The bigger story still to me, is Jordan Spieth is he is officially the new face of golf. Tiger Woods symbolically shoots his worst round in his major history earlier in the week, 16 over, doesn't make the cut. Jordan Spieth is now the youngest player in the last 93 years to have two majors. He's 21.
Yeah.
He gets to compete for the Grand Slam, which nobody's ever done, and he very well may not. But the fact that he's even competing for a Grand Slam at the age of 21 is unbelievable. And look at these names. This is the list of players in golf history that have won the first two legs of the Grand Slam. Tiger, Jack, Arnie, Ben Hogan, Sam Snead, Craig Wood, Jordan Spieth.
Yeah,
that's Mount impressive. Rushmore.
No, it is an impressive list.
Yeah.
For me, at this point, I wouldn't necessarily say that there's one face to golf. I mean, he's an
not one.
But I mean, Rory, obviously, and Rory hasn't been playing well lately. But
for the European game, he's the guy.
Yeah, I mean, he did horrible in the Irish Open,
right,
which is on his home turf. So I don't know what the explanation was for that. But I still feel like some of these guys can just have horrible outings and still come back and
he
win
came
tournaments.
Roaring back yesterday.
Yeah,
and almost
and
pushed it.
So as far as Tiger, I mean, I just think he's done. I really
he is
do.
Done.
I mean,
yeah.
Jack had a resurgence in his 40s, won a couple to push his major total up to 18. You know, Tiger's got four, I believe, to catch him.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't see it happening.
No way.
He hasn't competed for 4 days.
He's playing
in
his
a while.
Worst golf of his career.
Of his career.
With still tweaking his swing,
yeah.
Still battling back problems.
Yeah.
Tiger's finished. And while there are many guys that are fun to watch, and as you saw the leaderboard yesterday, that was a really good snapshot of this generation coming of golfers that are in the mix, because there was no Phil Mickelson, you know, there was no Ernie Els or Jim Furyk or whoever. It was all younger guys.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the new group. And
okay.
Jordan Spieth being 21, he's the guy that's going to get the most attention for now. And I think it's cool.
I hope that Phil, one of these years, can win a U.S. Open.
Oh, I think he'll still compete.
Well, it's the one in the crown, the one jewel that's missing from the crown as far as a career master or a career grand slam.
Career slam
for Phil. So
yeah.
I hope that he can get it done. He's still a darn good player and can put together four solid days.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But it's going to be fun. I can't wait for the Open. That course played like a British Open.
It looked like it.
It looked
it
like
played
it.
Like it. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe Spieth will have an even better shot than we think, having just had to basically play his own British Open in the United States.
And that would be cool. That's coming up in a few weeks, right?
I think so, yeah.
Is it at St. Andrews again
this
year?
It's at St. Andrews this year.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah, the
very
most
cool.
Historic golf course in the world. And then can we get an update on World Cup, Noobs?
Absolutely. In the 41st minute, United States and Colombia are tied 0-0.
0-0. Colombia, like 150-1 odds to win the cup this year.
Wow.
My buddy Kyle put a $5 bet on him.
Nice.
So
cool.
He's probably rooting against the United States, but that's okay. Fun World Cup action. Can you give us kind of a breakdown of the bracket, Noobs? Do you have that in front of you?
I don't, actually, but this is for a chance or for the opportunity to go to the quarterfinals.
Mm-hmm.
I know Australia just upset Brazil yesterday.
That's right.
Which was a big one.
Ousted them.
Pretty sure that France is through and that Germany's through.
And you watched
England won today.
You watched a program yesterday reminiscing about Mia Hamm and company, right?
Yeah, I had tuned in because my guide told me that it was the O.J. Simpson 1994 30 for 30.
Yeah, yeah, it's a
and,
good one.
And the program before it had run late, so it was really good because I got an opportunity to watch the last 20 minutes of this show where they had about seven members of the 1999 World Cup team,
mm-hmm.
the Women's World Cup team, who beat China in extra time and penalty kicks.
Right.
The famous Brandi Chastain moment where she rips off her jersey and they all come running in. But it was cool. It was Julie Foudy and Mia Hamm, Brandi Chastain, the goaltender, and a few others who I didn't remember as well. But I remember watching that, and that
yeah.
was just a seminal moment. And I think a lot of people kind of just take for granted that we are a dominant team because we've won the last, like, three Olympic golds
mm-hmm.
for the women. But the women haven't won one, a World Cup, that is, since 1999.
Right.
So 03, 07, and 11, we came up short. So it'll be interesting to see if we can get it done. I think women's soccer across the world is getting better,
mm-hmm.
you know, as far as deeper. You
right.
know, for a while it seemed like it was Sweden, China, and the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And now it seems like, you know, there's a lot of good competition. So
yeah.
hopefully the women can get it done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'll be curious to see how the ratings are because, you know, it's a West Coast, you know, tournament. And it gives a good chance to boost that up a bit. And I know that that can be kind of a big deal for, you know, more coverage of women's sports in general.
Right.
So if they're able to get good ratings, you know, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I never really thought of Vancouver as the West Coast, but I suppose it is. It really is.
It's about as west as you can get.
So, yeah, and it was funny because I didn't realize the one thing I learned last night, that that 1999 game was the highest rated men's or women's soccer game.
Oh, really?
In the United States. That surprised me because I would have figured it would have been last year against Portugal.
Right, right.
You know, because, you know, the huge groundswell that we apparently had. But apparently that gold medal or that World Cup final was the number one highest rated soccer
game. In the history of soccer in the
United States. Men's or women's United States.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
We've got so much to talk about, noobs. The Giants take 2-3 from the Dodgers.
9-3
on the season, which is wonderful.
And that's what's keeping him in this race, honestly.
I know. And they get pounded yesterday with Timmy on the hill. He has the worst outing of his career in terms of length, 1 1/3 innings. And his numbers are deceiving. He's got, you know, a bunch of wins and an ERA under 4, but he has been really bad his last 7 starts.
Yeah, I watched that game yesterday. It was bad.
I would expect him to be, with Peavy coming back and Kane coming back, they're going to have to jumble the rotation. I'd expect Timmy, if they're in their right mind, to finally be sent to the bullpen because he's not really even competing at times. He's just been the beneficiary of some run support and an early hook. He's not there.
So who else is going to be out of the rotation? Heston? You can't take Heston out, can you?
I think they're tripping if they do. I think Vogelsong makes much more sense because he's been up and down all season, and he can also pitch out of the pen. Hudson, he's 40. He's in the last year of his storied 200-plus win career. He's never pitched out of the bullpen. That doesn't make much sense to me.
Right.
Even if he's not doing all that well. He had a decent outing this last week, but he's been getting bounced around. But he just doesn't seem like a bullpen arm. So
what do you think about going to a 6-man rotation?
I'm not a fan of that because then you get less of your top-tier guys.
Yeah.
You know? I want to see Madison Bumgarner out every fifth day.
That guy could pitch every fourth day if he wanted to.
I know. He's old school. Yeah. He's had some of these games this year where he'll give up 4 runs, but his pitch count's down, and Bochy just lets him pitch into the 8th, which is not something that managers do much anymore. And he'll get a win simply by pitching until they score runs. He has not gotten good run support the last 2 out. They've lost 1-0 and 2-0, but Bum's having another all-star year. So it'll be interesting to see what shakes out there. The A's are playing better baseball.
They are.
They take 2-3 over the weekend from the Angels. And, you know, play a little defense for a change. And here's Laurie making a good grab over his shoulder on CSN Bay Area.
This one's hit high in the air, third baseline, foul territory. Simeon and Laurie come together. He caught it. He had to navigate that mound, and he did as best he could. And somehow, he caught it. That is a sensational play by Laurie.
So the A's are playing a little bit better ball, and they still have a lot to figure out because you can't be the worst defensive team in the majors and expect to win above the 500 mark. They're still 10 games under 500. Their bullpen is still a mess.
Plus 35 run differential, though.
They do.
That's a good sign.
They can score.
They can score.
But if your bullpen and your defense are suspect, you're going to have problems.
I'm not necessarily counting them out yet. I mean, granted, we're almost at the halfway point here. They've played 72 games, and they're 10.5 back. But I'm just looking at that division. And Houston, I mean, they're a good team. It's a good young story. I'm not a believer yet, and I don't believe in the Rangers. I think the Angels probably are the best roster. The
Rangers have been overachieving.
And the Mariners have been underachieving. So I still feel like, I mean, there's a possibility they just get super hot and make this crazy run.
It's not, you know, beyond the realm of possibility. But that bullpen, that's not going to get that crazy run done.
Right.
I'm a believer
besides Clipper,
defense can come around. You know, these guys are all professionals, and they can cinch it up. But a bad bullpen doesn't typically just transform itself into a good bullpen. You know what I mean?
I do.
They've got holes that really need to be shored up. And with Billy Bean being the seller that he typically is when they're not in contention necessarily at the break.
Right.
I'm very curious to see what they'll do because he already sold everything in the offseason and then added some pieces that haven't come together yet.
Josh Donaldson situation looks horrible right now.
It's so bad. It looked bad when they did it. It looks worse now.
Yeah.
I'll just be very curious to see what Bean does towards the trade deadline, which isn't that far off.
It's the end of July, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, we're entering that time frame when people start kicking the tires on stuff. Mm-hmm. So it'll be, you know, the next month will kind of show you where the A's will be towards the end of the season, I think. But speaking of baseball, news from Pete Rose, damning news.
Yeah.
Pete Rose, who was hoping to maybe he will get his case reviewed by the new commissioner Manfred this year in the All-Star Games in Cincinnati. It comes out officially today that there is now damning evidence that he was gambling on games as a player during his playing career.
Right. Which he'd always maintained.
He'd always denied.
Oh, I only did it as a manager.
Only did it as a manager, which isn't any better.
Isn't not any better.
But, you know, turns out he was lying, and perhaps in a big way. Basically, what's happened is there was an investigation into an organized crime, gambling in the mid-80s, and I guess they got their man, and there was a notebook from one of Rose's alleged connections to gambling that was sealed ever since in the archives. And the Rose detractors have been trying to get at it forever to prove he was gambling as a player. And it was only released recently. And this is like his bookie, essentially, or one of his bookies. And it has handwritten notes keeping track of his bets for a six-month period or so in, like, the summer of 1985 or 86. There's literally, like, written out, you know, Pete, this, you know, this line. Games.
I'm reading it right now.
Betting thousands of dollars a day, losing $25,000 a week, betting with his team, Cincinnati Reds.
It's right here, Braves, Cubs,
yeah.
You know, 2000, 1500, you know.
I guarantee that was not the only 3-4 month stretch where Pete Rose gambled as a player.
Right.
That wasn't just a bad summer he had where he was hurting for cash.
Keep your notes in your heads, kids.
God. What a saga. That's not going to work out in his favor.
No, he's never getting in now.
No,
and
no.
Like you just mentioned with the All-Star game in Cincinnati this year, and earlier Manfred had kind of seemed like he was open to the possibility of welcoming Pete into the baseball world a little bit more. Maybe, I don't know if he was actually ever going to get into the hall anyway, but the door is completely closed.
The door is shut.
It's shut. It's nailed shut. It's boarded up.
Yep. And now the All-Star game is going to be in Cincinnati, and there's going to be all this like weird negative press surrounding it.
Absolutely.
Not that it's going to like scar the All-Star game, but not exactly what the Reds organization had in mind coming into the break.
They might as well just parade Marge Schott out there too.
I know. That's going to be a storyline. So that's unfortunate for everybody. But, you know.
Well, and let's not have 8 Kansas City Royals start that game either.
Please. What a joke. And, you know, Kansas City's playing great, but come on.
But come on.
I mean, give me a break.
The second baseman who's hitting .215.
And we've made, you know, light of it before. The fan, you know, ballot stuffing for online voting is a joke.
Well, you can have like 35 different IP addresses or something.
Yeah, and you can vote 35 times out of each one.
Yeah.
It's a total joke.
It's a joke.
Yeah, it's just an abomination. Paper ballots don't even exist anymore. They've done away with those completely.
Right.
So the days of poking out the holes with your keychain,
I remember that,
are over.
Yes.
They should probably go back to that because this is ridiculous.
Well, I think that would be one way to do it. I mean, it wouldn't be exactly, you know, egalitarian necessarily, but you'd have to go to the ballpark to get those paper ballots. That's mm-hmm. how you'd have to show up to the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So does that mean that it's only for season ticket holders to do all the voting? No. But I mean, there's got to be some kind of happy medium.
Yeah.
And some kind of like maybe splitting it amongst maybe some of the baseball writers or even the players themselves.
Players.
What about that?
Let the players
the
vote. Yeah. Let the managers pick, you know, the entire – I don't know. It's just something's got to be better.
Something's got to be better in this. And the one thing too is two real quick points. One, I do not believe that every roster or every team needs to be represented. That I don't think is necessary. If you have, you know what I mean? If there's other guys that are on other teams that are more deserving, who cares if there's a bunch of Royals? Who cares if there's a bunch of Yankees, like in years past, as long as they deserve to be there?
Mm-hmm.
The second point that I would make is, especially with this ridiculousness that's going on right now with the ballot stuffing, we can't have this game decide World Series home field advantage. Can't happen.
It's a joke.
You know what
Just
I mean?
Just have it alternate. You know, I mean,
no, I think it should be best record.
Give it to the best record or best record. Whatever. Like, that's just stupid.
Yeah.
Even though the MLB All-Star Game is, in my opinion, one of the more watchable contests simply because it's mano a mano and nobody wants to just let a fly ball go over their heads or boot a ground ball.
Right.
It's still not like, you know, nobody's laying it out on the line in terms of, yeah, I'm going to make sure that I use Clayton Kershaw six innings, so we can, you know, it's not like that.
No, the guys play, you know, starters are in there for two or one innings. Yeah, it's an exhibition.
It happens to be a more intense exhibition than most of the other All-Star contests, but it's an exhibition, you know. I don't know if anything's going to change, but if Rob Manfred wants to be the GM that does things differently, then he will change it.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Commissioner.
Speaking, did I say GM again?
Yeah.
Good God.
It's all good.
Commissioner. I'm thinking of Bud Selig, the owner.
It's all right. A couple weeks ago, I pronounced Cutter Qatar like 12 times. So,
and let's finish out the program talking Cal basketball, because you wouldn't expect us to do that. But Cal basketball, men's basketball, has landed an unprecedented draft class within the university. They got Ivan Rabb to stick around. He's one of the
Oakland
top
native.
One of the top five recruits in the nation. Went to O'Dowd. Even that is something amazing. This guy's getting offers from everybody, all the big boys. You know, Kentucky, UNC, Duke, yada yada. They get him to stick around, and then Rabb, who played, you know, basically summer ball with the other elites, gets Jaylen Brown from Marietta, Georgia, who's also on some list the number one prospect in college basketball to be, to come to Cal on an unofficial visit that he paid for out of his own pocket and signs on.
That's crazy, because you'd think a kid from the South at Calipari or Krzyzewski.
All those guys were all over him. You know, Arizona's, UCLA's, Kentucky, all these. He turned them all down. He's going to Cal.
Yeah.
And then they've got Jabari Parker coming back, who was injured most of last year, with a veteran core. I mean, this is a big deal. Cal basketball is going to be, unless
Jabari Bird,
pardon me. Unless something weird happens, Cal's going to be really good next year. And most of the time with big name recruits, it's not the flop potential that you have with the NBA, because the game transfers a little bit more immediately. And Cal, in all likelihood, will be very good for the first time in 20-some-odd years since the, you know, Jason Kidd, Sharif Abdur-Rahim. That's a long time ago.
Yeah. So they haven't made the Final Four since 1960.
No, yeah. And, you know, the Pac-12 is a good division, and they're gonna be right there.
Yeah, and to your point, you know, it's really surprising because the powerhouses out here are, you know, definitely UCLA and Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at some of the schools, you know, Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina, Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, for him to snub all those teams is just amazing.
Amazing.
You know,
from Georgia.
And to play for a guy, Quanzo Martin, the coach, who really hasn't done anything in particular.
No, he was at Tennessee and then came to Cal, and, you know, they were okay last year, but nothing special.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it, you know, exciting times in the Bay Area all the way around.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's see if they can, you know, sometimes these things don't come together on the floor. But
right.
I mean, when you've got four blue chip prospects like this,
and these guys are buddies, these two guys, that's part of the reason. That's the reason it's happening.
This could be like, you know, the Fab Five 2.0 or whatever.
Yeah, because, you know, with the way it works in college basketball, if both these guys play to their potential, expect them both to leave
after their sophomore seasons or one year.
So,
sure.
You know, I mentioned earlier in a text, in our house, you know, the Bay Area doesn't have a college, you know, fever like other parts of the country do. But, you know, people are into college athletics, and we grew up rooting for Cal over Stanford. Mm-hmm. But they just haven't really been very relevant in those major sports in a long time.
Football, not since Aaron Rodgers left.
No, and even when Rodgers was there, they weren't nearly as good as his talent, you know?
Right.
So it's exciting. Dust off the Cal gear if you're into it, because this could be your chance.
Yeah, this could be an interesting year for sure.
And, you know, just like that, we've blown through the half hour. That's how we do it. And noobs, next week we'll have more exciting stuff. We'll have the draft to talk about. The NHL draft is coming up.
Yep.
We don't even
cover the NHL regular season, so I doubt we'll be talking much draft.
Spend the whole program talking NHL
Let's do
draft.
That. Look forward to that, everybody.
That's right. But stick around. Peace Talks Radio coming up. And noobs, you take it easy until then.
You too, bro.
All right.